At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Dallas County Health and Human Services says five more people have died from the flu. That brings the county's total of flu-related deaths to 67 this season. All patients had high-risk health conditions, and they ranged in age from 31 to 93. Mobile clinics are traveling through Cedar Hill, Cockrell Hill, Dallas, and DeSoto to provide free flu vaccines to adults. 114 people across North Texas have died from the flu. The state's primary elections are less than a month away. Primaries are typically low turnout affairs, but the last presidential election also didn't draw large numbers in Texas. The state ranked 47th for voter turnout in 2016. Researchers with the Annette Strauss Institute for Civic Life wanted to find out why, so they used census data and their own survey to come up with the Civic Health Index. Institute Director Susan Nold on Public Radio's Texas Standard said frequent moves in and out of state were part of the problem.
They must re-register in their new county, get to know a whole new slate of local elected officials and issues in order to be effective participants in democracy.
Potential voters also told the Institute they often were too busy to vote. But another reason surprised postdoctoral fellow Jay Jennings.
They did not like the candidates or the issues that were presented by the candidates in the campaign. So it was the candidates themselves that were maybe turning away more voters in 2016 than in 2012.
There was a bright spot in that report, though. The state's strongest point is its neighborliness. Now to the big screen. Movies about British history are catnip for Oscar voters. Some recent Best Picture nominees include The King's Speech, Atonement, and The Imitation Game. Our Oscar series continues with two nominees connected by one of the towering figures of 20th century Britain, Winston Churchill.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, and our guest today is Susan Hansen, the chair of the History Department at the University of Dallas. Susan, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to talk to you about Dunkirk and Darkest Hour, two movies that take place in the early days of World War II, but are also very different. Dunkirk almost never leaves the battle on and above the beach.
Anchor, 11 o'clock. She's lining up to drop her load on that minesweeper.
Fighters?
Yeah, 109's up our starboard.
Whereas Darkest Hour takes place almost entirely behind closed doors.
How many more dictators must be wooed, appeased, good God, given immense privileges, before we learn you cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth?
As you watch these films, are you able to watch them for fun, or is the historian within always lurking?
I think that I am actually watching them for fun because I'm a historian. I'm just deeply engaged in the history of the period, and I think both of them do a wonderful job at giving, in some sense, young people's war and then an old people's war. You get the perspective of the young soldiers on the beach of Dunkirk trying to get back to the cliffs of Dover. And then you have the perspective of Winston Churchill trying to make it clear that this is an actual threat.
As a movie goer, I found myself wanting a little bit more narrative meat in Dunkirk and kind of telling me what exactly is going on. I'm wondering if you had any of those thoughts, or perhaps not, because you already know exactly what's going on.
No, I agree with you. I thought that they needed a little bit more narrative at the beginning to give a sense of why these troops are trapped on the beaches at Dunkirk. And I think there's a kind of assumption that everyone knows this story, even though it's clearly appealing to a younger audience with the younger actors. And I don't think they can take that for granted anymore. We're not dealing just with the Greatest Generation anymore. And I think some backstory needed to be given. And also, I think that the great speech that they have at the end would have been good to have at the beginning as well, because it framed nicely the fact that you're going to be seeing a battle that takes place on sea, on land, and on air.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
So I think that that would have been actually helpful at the beginning as well as at the end.
The rescue at Dunkirk is, of course, celebrated in Britain, though it really is the end of a military failure. How did the momentum of that event play into the war effort going forward?
I think that one of the things that they could have done even more is show that Winston Churchill turned what he himself acknowledges is a colossal military disaster, what you would call a disorderly retreat, that he nevertheless managed to turn it with the power of words into a victory of the human spirit, that it was a portrayal of a free society fighting against a total state. And Germany represents the total militarized state, and the call for civilians to go out in civilian craft to go pick up the army on the beaches of Dunkirk was an example of a voluntary society. Winston Churchill turned it into a victory for a portrayal of the war in such a way that the Americans could actually consider coming in to help the British.
As someone who knows a lot about Winston Churchill, certainly more than either of us, I'm wondering what you made of Gary Oldman's likely Oscar-winning performance.
I thought it was wonderful. One of my students objected that he seemed very curmudgeonly, and I actually thought that since Winston Churchill had been struggling for 20 years before 1939 to convey to the world that there was a Soviet and a Nazi threat, that yes, by 1939, you would feel fairly curmudgeonly.
So we have Darkest Hour, we have Dunkirk. We even had a third Dunkirk-related movie last year called Their Finest. I'm wondering why you think we are so Dunkirk-y all of a sudden at the movies.
It is, I think, one of the great stories for the patriotic British population. Dunkirk is what Normandy is for Americans.
Well, Susan Hansen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan.
That was our big screen team, Chris Wagner and Stephen Becker. In the forecast, you could see patchy drizzle this morning, mostly cloudy skies otherwise, with a high near 77, 20% chance of rain tonight. It's 68 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 57 in Wichita Falls, and 67 degrees in Tyler.